a lot more to discuss tomorrow. Learning tomorrow now, but we'd really just touched on the surface of the issue, the relationship between Lo Yachlifenu and Lo Yamir and the Hayahu Tzvurasi Kodesh. We basically identified three themes. I think it's just important to have done that. And the three themes that we identified are very, very crucial themes, and their interaction is much of the story of Temura, namely the ability to be Makdish in this method, but we were calling Lo Yachlifenu, but we're not sure which is really which, but we'll use Rav Hirsch's suggestion for the moment. The question of whether or not you can in any way remove Kedusha by replacement, the Lo Yamir theme, and of course Hu Temurasa Yakodesh, which interfaces both of those, whether or not this really is a Kiddush or not. These are really very, very important ideas, very important themes. To highlight just one more example of it. First of all, a number of you have pointed out correctly that it may very well depend on the Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara in Temura. I didn't bring my Temura today, but Temura and Daf Tes and Aleph, that same Gemara which is Mechalek between Shalom and Shol Chaveiro, Gemara itself seems to be discussing whether or not you needed two labin or one lav, and what the labin mean. And if you look at the various Mepharshim and those Gemaras, Rabbeinu Gershom's Perush, which according to the Shitva Kubetzis is really Rabbeinu El Yakim, I'll explain that in a minute. But even the Shakla Vitaria of Daf Tes Amud Aleph itself is very suggestive, and especially in light of the possibility that we explored, which is that the expansion from Shalot to Shol Chaveiro itself isn't just an addition or a Gili Milsa, that this is what Temura includes, but that whether or not there is the possibility of the expansion, or even in the other direction, whether it's a Chiddush to say that there is such an expansion, or it isn't simply obvious, and you would know it even without Xeris HaKasuv, that itself really hinges on how you understand the various themes of Temura. So this is something to pursue and to pursue more fully. Just to give one example, again, where a lot of the Achronim speak about it a lot, the Gemara has a discussion with Abbas in Temura about Katan. Katan Shehemir, whether or not we say Hu Temurasa Yeh Kodesh, could say of a Katan who's a Mufla Samach Leish, I should add. He's a Mufla Samach Leish, so normally his haflos are taken seriously, in the Darim and Erchin, and so on. So if he would try to create a Temura, would that work or not? And the Gemara Safek is, after all, this Katan is not a Bar Onshin. He doesn't get the Malkus. Since he's not a Bar Onshin, does that affect his Hu Temuraso Yeh Kodesh or not? So that's a very interesting question, and there's some question about the Psak and the Rambam. The Rambam leaves it as a Safek, and some of the Mepharshim are very bothered by this. They say that it's a Nimtim Salomar in the Gemara, so you should have paskined it. What's going on with that Rambam? Actually, the Shittim Kubetzis here in the beginning of Kulin discusses this as well, and very bothered by the Rambam. See if I can find it for a second. He's very bothered by it. He says, what can you do? It's the Rambam, so we have to accept it. But he finds it to be very difficult. Miu matzasi la Rambam. He quotes the Rambam. Katan shigil onus the darim shemir afal pishen aloka yesh masafek emosat tmura oinas at tmura adkan. Afal pishen dvar tmuim the darker lifsa kakol imtim slomer shabatalmud mikamakum elonu al dvarav shakol dvarav divrei kabbalah. Very nice. But the point is, this whole suffix about katan is very fascinating, and the reason that the Rambam was maybe mistopic and didn't simply paskin like he normally does in Intim Salomars, maybe because it really isn't just a standalone via de lo ifshita, but it very much has to do with some of the issues that we were raising. In particular, the suffix of the Gemara seems to be whether or not the onesh is a component that is crucial in v'hayahu t'murasa yeh kodesh. In other words, if I say v'hayahu t'murasa yeh kodesh is just natural, namely, you did an act of Hakdasha, even if it was a Sofo, not a Tchilaso, so of course it's going to be Kodesh. And you weren't able to be Motzi the Davar Kadosh already, which doesn't have any Balmum, you weren't able to be Motzi Kedusha Mimenu, because you can never do that. If that's all B'hayohu Tmarasa Kodesh means, then if you have a Mufla Samach Lehish, basically, then there's no reason that you shouldn't say B'hayohu Tmarasa Yekodesh as well. The very discussion in the Gemara about Katan implies that the Onesh is somehow a component, or that's the suffix of the Gemara, whether the Onesh isn't a component in V'hayohu Tmaraso Yekodesh. Again, whether it's the on the, you know, the original one not being Yotze, or it's on the new one actually achieving Kedusha on this method, that we're still not sure about. But that seems to be the suffix of the Gemara, and I would suspect that that's why the Rambam didn't think that, you know, that you just handle as a regular Imtim Salomar. Maybe he felt that, you know, this remains an open suffix because of other indications in the Sugya of Tamura. In other words, if it was only a line in the Gemara and a suffix, and we're just not sure how to paskin, then maybe the Rambam would have complied certain regular Klal Yachra. But he just thinks it's more complicated because there really is conflicting evidence about the relationship between the Lavin and the Asay. That's just an example. And again, it goes to the heart of what we were discussing even in Tosas al-Atar here in Chulin, where Tosas said about the relationship between Shogeg and Mezid, right? And that's one view in Tosas was that the more Shogeg it is, the easier it will explain the Hakrava aspect. But the more difficult it will be to explain the Hakadasha. And so, in other words, that's one day in Tosas. And the other day in Tosas seems to dispute that. So as we discussed, it depends. If you view the Hakadasha of the new Korban, in other words, as being a regular din of Hekdesh, essentially, and that's not a Chiddush at all, then really shouldn't matter one way or another. But if you believe that essentially the Yachlifeno shouldn't work at all, because it's not the normal Derech of Hekdesh, it's only because it's a kind of it's connected to the Iser of Lo Yachlifeno and Lo Yamer, to the Onesh of Lo Yachlifeno and Lo Yamer, and that's the reason that Hu, as well as Tmuraso Yekodesh, if you think that's so, then there actually might be more of a reason to require Mezid than Shogeg and the actual Hakdasha. That is opposed to the other way of looking at it, which is Arboim Bekatvei, and yet it's going to be a Hakdasha. So these two opposite views, pretty much in Tosis, I think highlight the question of the role of Iser and Onesh in the actual Hakdasha of the behemoth. So I'm just giving this as an example. Obviously, this is much more. This is just the tip of the iceberg. But some of these issues are very much on the surface. If you're going to give Malkus, as we said, from for Leachlifenu, for Layamir, what the relationship is between them, how you understand the two points in the Rambam, the question of Lav Sheino, Shavala Asay, all these are connected. Specifically about Lav Anitak, I just want to say another two words also. Yeah.
For Shogeg, do we have to say that it's because it's connected to the Onesh and therefore the Onesh shows in the Bible?
I mean, if Shogeg works or Shogeg doesn't work.
The fact that it's harder to explain Shogeg by Hakdasha.
I think there could be two ways to say it. One is that what I just said, which is that you need to be connected to the Onesh. The Onesh is part of the reason Hayahu Tmarasu Yakodesh.
Can it just be a general Halach and Das if he's being Makdash?
Could be. I did like Hakdasha Betos. That's possible as well. Although, you know, it isn't really the classic Hakdasha Betos, because here it's more Tos of the Halacha than it is the toast, and the like, you make some mistake, like you're misasik be haktasha here, but I think that's possible as well. This would become like in the category of hektish betos, since you're not aware that this is an improper method. That's possible. Okay, on lava nitak. So let me just say another word. So what we had so far is we had the Gemara and Tmura, which seemed to say that it's not a lava nitak lase. And the reason is because of the two Lavin, and we discussed that in a more general way. And the Rambam, of course, has that, and the other reason of Lav Shein Shave, which Lase, which is the way he interpreted the Gemara. And we discussed, what about Bal Yirah and other such cases, etc. What we establish is that this rule that the Gemara has in Tumur and Davdal and Beis isn't so obvious at all. Number one, depending on the relationship of the two Lavan, whether they're integrated, but it's just Lechozek or Lechomer, or whether we're talking about two Mechaibim, it should be, that might very well dictate whether we're going to say Lav Anita Klase. That's number one. And number two, the Anita Klase here, as we pointed out, is very, very challenging. Because at minimum, it's a sheval tas, so you don't do anything. And perhaps even more than that, it's just a fact. It's the halacha, not even the, you know, the Torah swooping in and changing things. And that's partly what we just, unless it is the Torah swooping in. But either way, it's a very unusual assay. And I also made the suggestion that maybe lav anita klase in some cases is a kind of lav, or it's a shir in a kind of lav shem b'maisa, in the sense that not that there isn't the physical maisa, but that the maisa isn't the standalone mechay. So just on that very, very quickly, number one, Akiva mentioned to me that this might be true, but I said that it very much depends on the sugya in Makos, Daf Tezvav, where the Gemara talks about kimu, lo kimu, bitlu, lo bitlu, namely what happens in a situation where you have a lav and nita klase. And at the time when you do the lav, it's nita klase, but then all of a sudden, or then at some point, the ase is no longer an option. So at that point, you get malchus for the lav. And I think it very much is connected to that sugya. But if you say that lav and nita klase depends on the moment of the lav, that it's nita klase, then what I'm suggesting is possible. Namely, that lav and nita klase doesn't mean that there's a tikkun, the ase is metake in the lav in some way, or vitiates it, at least to the point of malchus, but it's a din in the sashir and the lav to begin with. A lav, which there is also an assay component, isn't a standalone maisa vera of the lav. And that would be true as long as at the time of the lav there is this connected assay. But if later on the assay disappears as a possibility, we don't really care because b'shas maisa, when you did the lav, right, it still wasn't a standalone maisa vera. But if you hold like the lamaskana, that when the opportunity of the assay disappears, then you get malchus on the act of the lav before, then it's obviously much more difficult. That's pretty much what I was suggesting. So Akiva just pointed out that in terms of the Rambam itself, the Rambam does seem to imply in a bunch of places that lav anita klase is dependent upon the actual possibility of the assay, and that when the possibility of the actual assay is gone, shalach to shalach asaim, and so on, then you lose lav anita klase. Even in the context of gzela, which we discussed a lot last year, right, the Rambam says that as long as the chepetz ha-gazal is be'en, there's the heshevus ha-gzela she-gazal, and once the chepetz ha-be'en is gone, then it becomes a lav shenitan l'tashlumin, but no longer a lav shenitak l'ase. So this seems to be general Shitas Rambam, and I think his point was a good one, which is, so in light of that, is what I'm saying in the Rambam at least possible. So maybe not, or maybe there are really two types of lav anita klase. I think that is a possibility too, but then you would treat them differently on several levels. The Oren brought to my attention that Tosas here in Chulin, actually later on in Pei Beis Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, there are a number of such tosasin, but this is a particularly good one, actually touches on some of these issues directly. Tosas talks in general about some of the issues of lav anita klase, and Tosas here makes some of these distinctions. Here on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, it's a long Tosas. Tosas, Rav Shmuel Mivardon, I omer the hockey person. Kiva disle nami lav de losas and lilki de losa chad ase, umenatek hani tre lavi, kadominim sechas tmura. The leosi ase de bahayahu tmasa yakodesh vakar tre lavi, the loyach lifen of a loyamir also. Vief shalomar came, the hainer dafke, kadishne lavin, smuchen zelaze, teda, he quotes the Gemara in Makos, the losas is shikidmo ase, lokan alav, the maisim of yishalkum and amachanat, while he tamus machaneim, the tana eluen alokin, and so on. Maraya dilmasa mishum dika trei lavi, vikanami lav de vel mikdash lo tavo. Oh, darmina bahu pirka de laki alav de lo tigzal mishum de nita klase, the heshivas agzela, and ikanami lav de lo sashok, as we mentioned specifically. Hainu eshek, hainu gezel, Lama kasa b'shnei shemus lavar l'b'shnei lavin. Elevadai dafka hecha d'shnei lavin smuchin kamar del akar luchad asei. So Tosas here wants to qualify the rule in Tmura that it only applies to situations where the two lavin, which are poised against the asei, are smuchin. And Oshik and Gezel is one of the examples that he uses. So I think that the question is, why do we really care whether the lavin are smuchin or not? I think one could suggest that the significance of lavin are smuchin, could be just exerus akasim, that's the way it is. You know, we have these rules, so you learn out from lav de chasama, and now we're also being told that, you know, only the model of samuch, does this rule apply. But I think if we wanted to understand the inner logic of it, we might be saying, getting back to our models before, we said that if we're talking about a kefal halab, which is there for chozek, lechazek, and that's lahachmir, so then we might understand why lava nitak lase is not going to apply one ase against two lavin. But if we're talking about two different mechaivim, right, it's possible at least, not mukrach, but then there's more reason to think that we can do a divide and conquer, because it's really not fighting, you know, a dual lav, it's fighting two lavin, and it's fighting them separately. So I think that could be the pshat of lav hasamuch, lav and asmuchin. So maybe what Tosa is saying is that lav and asmuchin are there to mechazek each other. Like lifenu v'lo yamir, meaning if it doesn't mean two mechaivim, so the Torah is saying it's a dual lav. But if you have two lavin, let's say Oshek and Gezel, and they're in two different places in the Torah, and this is the big and, but this is my suggestion from last year as well, the Oshek part and the Gezel part reflect maybe different elements or different mechaivim somewhat. So then, you're right, you're not going to apply this Tmura halacha, because you're talking about it's comparable to what we were saying about Bayirah Bayimatzeh, where you might not apply that rule. So Samuch Bakra may indicate what the relationship of the Lavin are. It isn't just Exeris HaKasim. That's point number one. Point number two, and this is the real reason that Oren showed it to me, which is correct, is that he has another perspective here. Ba'od Nira, Hadlo Akar Trei Lavi Hainu Kahu De Tmura, So in the end of Tosis is saying that in general the lava nitok lasei of hayahu t'marasa kodesh is just quite different. It's b'shev al tase, and as we were saying, number one is b'shev al tase. It's not something done. So had it been the halacha, and you're supposed to be makrevit, right? So at least you'd have something to do. So you could say, that's metaken es halav. He speaks in these terms specifically. How can it be a tikkun if you're not doing anything? It's b'shev al tase. But and we were saying it even more sharply in a way, meaning it being shev al tase is part of the problem. But even if you didn't require a maisa tikkun, right, is it even any more than a description of the reality, which is, well, you didn't succeed, and not only that, you doubled your hektesh. So that certainly is going to be a problem. Even if you could have a tikkun halav b'sheva al tase, but is this even a tikkun at all? Unless you say again, that's the din Torah, the chiddush Torah is it shouldn't, but it is on one or two of those lavin. So then it's better understood. But basically, the suggestion it tells us is that the rule of lava nitak la'ase, that one ase will not overcome two lavin, may be restricted to the special nitak la'ase of tmura, which is unique, which is different. That would just work out nicely. So instead of saying what I'm saying, which is this might be a general idea of lava nitak la'ase, that it's not tikkun, but it's nituk, again, basically, that there's more than one kind of lav nitak lase is already acknowledged by Bali Tosis, and that the Tmura case is really a unique and different case. Having said that, it's also interesting just to note, the Shidim Kubetzis here in Chulin quotes a shita that lahalacha we really paskin that there's no malchus in tamura. It's pretty radical, and that is because it's a la vanita klase. Right? What do you mean? In other words, totally against the Gemara on Dalet Amud Beis. How could you be totally against the Gemara on Dalet Amud Beis? Well, number one, if you hold that that the Gemara on Daf Tes and the Gemara on Daf Dalet Amud Beis are at odds, right? If you hold Daf Tes, which says, well, you know, l'rabos shelo v'shel chaveiro, basically according to the first model that we had of the three models of Tulavin, which is basically you have one Iser, but we're being Mechadesh, we're being Megala, that it applies in a case which otherwise we might not have known. Right. So then it's really treated, even though in the Torah there is two Azaros, but it's not Lechomer, and it's not two Mechayvin, it's one Iser. So then you should certainly apply Lavanita Klase, one would think. Also, you might say, that's one approach. The other approach is, who says that we paskin like the Gemara, never mind that it's contradicted internally by the way that you look at the two laven of Tamura, maybe the rule itself is just contradicted by other Gemaras. Which other Gemaras? The Gemaras that Tosas quotes, the Gemara that we quoted, maybe Oshek and Gezel, right, would be one. Bal Yerah Bal Yimatze, the Gemara Pesachim of Tzadi. Hey, do we really believe that this rule of lav, Shnei Lavin against one Asay is not really Lavin Nita Klase, or is that just a particular Gemara in Tamura, which, so for Tamura reasons we might argue, and for general reasons we might argue. So it's just interesting to note that he quotes a Shita here. Let's see if I can find it. I'm not making it up, I'm pretty sure. One second. Yeah, Harav Rab Shmuel Verdamus, the famous Rab Shmuel Verdamus, right? Amar de lo yamir have alava nita klase. If you have these, the Shidduch Kibetz that I have, it's on page, well, it's on column, I guess. I don't know why they do that. Column 41. Okay. But it's here on, you know, right in the end of his discussion of Tamura. Harav Rab Shmuel Verdamus Amar de lo yamir have alava nita klase. Dichsiv im hamer yamir ve'ein lokin olav. Kein matzasi v'gilyon atosis. It's pretty wild. I mean, no one else that I know holds that way. But I'm just saying, in light of what we went through, you know, and now Oren's edition of Tosis and Chulin, it's not shocking that one could say that the Gemara in Dalet Amud Beis is lav kiyom. So you also have to say that there's an... Yeah, okay. I take that back. Okay. So that is, that's maybe the most radical conclusion that you could reach. But yeah. Sorry? Lo Yamir and Lo Yachlifenu. Neither one has Malkus. So that's what I'm saying. He says, he says Lo Yamir have a Lavanita Klase. Yeah, you know, it's not clear from the earlier. I hear what you're saying. I think you're right. If you take it in context, if you take it as a standalone, I mean, you're suggesting that he means like the Shagas Aryeh, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, maybe that makes more sense. The Lo Yamir have a Lavanita Klase. The Siv Im Hamer Yamir. I mean, that's the diuk in the pasuk too. The pasuk doesn't say v'im hechlif yachlif. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the one that I mentioned. That's where partly where he gets it from, because in the it says la'achit tenev la'yamir, and it says v'im hemir.
He says the point of the pasuk is that even the chiluf would be a din in tamura also. That's the point.
Right.
So yamir would.
But the hamara.
That's
obvious that it's not going to work. I hear. So, okay. I mean, in terms of Nita Klase, it's maybe a bigger chiddush, though. Because if the Nita Klase refers only to the Im Hamer Yamir, that's the one which you would think would require it less. I mean, that's just a fact. You just can't be motzi kedushas haguf without a mum bepidyon or bechilov. I hear. I think David is right, so I take that last line back. The chiddush of Rab Shmuel Vardamos or whatever is that lo yamir is nitak la'aseh, but maybe lo yachlifena is not. So it's not. It doesn't have to be against the sugya in. It doesn't have to be against. Ain lokin a love. Ain lokin. Oh, you know what it is? Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. This is what it is. He has here like parentheses on the word alav. Alone, it read v'ein lokin. Okay, so if you say v'ein lokin, and it's standalone, it's not connected to the original question, then it's what I said before, which is, what he's saying is, l'halacha, you don't get malchus for tmura, because we don't paskin like that Gemara and Dalet on base. Why not? He doesn't say why not. So then it would have to be either internally because of Tesam and Aleph or because of all these other Gemaras that this doesn't seem to be such a klal. Okay. But then he added here, in parentheses, he has the Ein Lokin Alav. So then I think the reading is much better according to David's suggestion, which is it's a Shagas Aryeh Mishnah L'Melech approach, meaning the Lav Hanitak works on the Layamir, but you remain with Lo yachlifena. The kiddush in that would be: is it more nitak? Is the nitak more in the fact that the tmura is not yotze, or is it in that the yachlifena works? Okay, so that's that. Okay. Yeah.
Well, one more approach to understanding why the assay here is so automatic is the Rebbe's. Traditional approach to Lashon Hara Smulah for Kabbalists in general and Hakdasha in general.
That's why it's easy to make something Kodesh.
Therefore, for this essay, it has more automatic.
But why does that make it more Nita? It's still Sheva Al Tasa and automatic, right?
Right. So, I mean, Anathanami is the Nita for any of the number of reasons you said. Or maybe even the fact that there is this much.
But the reason that it's so, that it's Vahayu Tumasa Kodesh, it's because in general it's not so difficult to make something Kodesh. After all, you just have to clue in to what should have always been anyway. I hear. Okay. Okay, good. So that's in terms of Tumura, and as I say, it's there's obviously much more to talk about, but we'll leave that. Now let's move on to the next issue, which is. Elliot, you want to read for us? Which is the issue of the Nedarim. Yeah.
For example, the Rebbe assumes that the doesn't assume they're matos. For itself, it says they're a matos.
I'm just saying that in light of Daftes, one could have said that the two psukim are don't really qualify in terms of being a say against two lavin, because the two lavin never come together. What? So you have to figure out why that is, right? I'm just saying, but at least what I'm saying is, if you think that there's an issue of there might be malchus for other reasons, maybe it's not nita klase. In other words, I could say that it's a lav sheyeshva maisa, because b'dibura avid maisa or akimas fasav or meimar nishba mekalas hashem. That takes care of the problem of lav sheyeshva maisa. As far as the problem of lav shenita klase, so I might say. That it's too lavin and therefore it doesn't solve that problem. Or I might say it's not that kind of an assay.
And
therefore you get malchus. But if you take daf dalid and you say it is that kind of an assay, right? And the only reason that you're patur is because of the too lavin, and then you go back to daf tes, so then you really don't have too lavin either. That's what I'm suggesting.
How would this have answered explained that
so he's saying, I thought he was saying, but I now agree with David, but what he's likely saying is something different. But I thought what he was saying was that it's a lav hanitak la'aseh.
So they can't use the daftes model.
Well, we're only using the daftes model partially, is what I'm saying. From daftes we see, in light of daftes, daftalid is a problem. That's what I'm saying. So then what conclusion are you going to reach? So one conclusion to reach is that again, I wouldn't have any problem saying that you still get malchus. So say you could still get malchus because the assay is is not a real asay of nita klase. But if you believe like daf dalid that this is a nita klase, and you believe like daf tes that the relationship of the lavin is that they each relate to some different case and an expansion, then I'm just saying when you put them together, you might really hold that it's a lavin nita klase, which is pater min hamalkus. That's what I'm suggesting. If there is such a shita. Again, once you read it the way David is reading, which I think is more likely true, then it probably is wrong. Okay. Now, let's move on to the next Gemara. Okay, we'll move a little more quickly now. Okay, go ahead. Hakol marichin v'narachin, nodr v'nidarin. Is it another Elliot? I meant Elliot, by the way. What? Okay, go ahead. I think I said, are you an Elliot or an Ellie? Oh, both. I didn't know that. Okay. But I meant Elliot. On my list, I think is the only Elliot. But that's good. Now I know that Charles. Now, do you prefer Elliot? Elliot. Okay. But we'll give you a chance to read. We want to call on everybody all the time, but we just. Okay, Elliot, go ahead.
The mission says that everyone can be marich means to make evaluation for someone else of someone else, and he also is valued in himself. Nodrin, he can make a neder based on let's say himself or someone else. Minidarin, someone can make a neder about him, like to make how much he's worth.
Right.
It should also be lechat chila v'aksiv chisecht alindor lo yebchal chet. It says, the pasuk says that if you refrain from making a neder, then you will not be over on a chet. V'aksiv tayva sher lo sidor mishasidor v'lo sishalim. It's better that you. It says better that you don't make a neder than you make a neder and then you don't pay the neder. Fulfill the neder.
So that seems quite obvious that it's better to not to make a neder than to pledge and not. And not do we even need to tell us that? I mean, do we need a pasuk really to tell us that it's better not to tova shalot tidor misha tidor velo tishalayim, which is what we read in Koheles?
Right, seems more like a shema lo tishalayim.
So the mefarshim, a lot of them say that the real pshat has to be shema lo tishalayim misha tidor velo tishalayim, meaning the risk. Right. Better not to be no there. Than to take the risk of neder velo mishalem. That's how many of the Rishonim read the pasuk, because otherwise, I mean, what's the hava mean? There is another possibility. Yeah.
I mean, it could have just been a warning that you should be careful, that it's still kedai to make a neder, but you should be careful in doing it.
Meaning?
You should make a neder for no reason. You should only make a neder if you think you're going to be mishalem. It doesn't have to be because it could become the Tov Hashem Tito, which is obvious in itself, but it's not Tara. Not that you shouldn't do it, that's not an Isser, but that you should be careful when you do it.
Well, that's a different question. You're asking whether the Tov, it doesn't say Usser Lidor.
Right.
It says Tova Shelo Tidar, Misha Tidor Velo Tishalem. We're going to read one more. Just read the next line for a second, and then we'll get back. The Tanya, Tov Mizem
Zeh. Better is he who doesn't make an edder at all. Dibri Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Tov Mizem Mizeh, Nodem Mishalem. It's better that you make an edder and that you pay it, but still the pasuk seems to be warning you that, like you said, that it's better not to make an edder if you're not going to pay it.
Okay. But feel Rabbi Yehuda like Kalman.
Rabbi Yehuda like Omer, Elav Omer, Arvei Zu. Aval Harei Olai, lo, it's not true. It's only better to do that if you're going to actually.
Okay, stop here for a second, because this is what we want to discuss for a few minutes. So I'm not sure. I think what Dobie was saying was that just because it says Tova Shalot Tidor Mishat Tidor Velot Tishalem doesn't mean it's an Iser.
Right.
It just may mean it's a good Eitz Tova.
Right,
don't get involved with this.
Especially
because it's in. Okay. I mean, by the way, there is a big discussion here, already a little bit in Tosis, and if you look more in Shita Mekubetzes, about why it is that we even need to quote Koheles, because the Torah already says. We first quote the pasuk in Devarim, which says "V'chi techdal lindor lo yeh b'chalchet," right? So why do you need the Koheles? So Tosus here says "Meikar ma'isim b'divrei Torah v'hodar ma'isim b'divrei Kabbal." And the other Rishonim, Shid Mekubetz, says there's a whole discussion about this. He has two or three different deos. Essentially, why do we need? And Shidduch Betz himself says, I don't see what the big question is. I mean, what the problem is, why are we quoting the Kabbalah? The rule of the Yehuda, the Ode Lakra, and the Gemara says in a few places, you know, that, you know, if they, let's say you give an explanation, and they say, Ba'od, in addition, there's also a Kra. They say, Yehuda, Ba'od, Lakra. I mean, if you have a Pasuk, why are you quoting, you know, what does that mean? So the Shidduch Betz here says, only when it says Va'od do we have that problem. But if you want to reinforce, if you want to say, quote something from one source and then show that it's reinforced by other sources, then that's very nice. Just shows consistency across Torah. When you say Va'od, it sounds like you're saying you need the support. And when you need the support, then you're saying that one of the sources is somehow deficient. Right. So deficient in authority? So that's what bothered some of the Rishonim here. Why are we, if we already quote a pasuk in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, so why are we quoting Divrei Kabbalah? So some of them say, well, as long as we quote the pasuk in the Torah first, it's fine. Others say that the real answer is because if you had only looked at the pasuk itself, right, all the pasuk really says is what? That if you're there's no chet if you don't v'chitech tal lindar lo yebecha chet. So the question is, does that mean, you know, if you want to avoid chet, which is how we're taking it, then techtal lindar. Don't be noder. That's a way to avoid chet. Maybe the pasuk alone didn't mean that. What it meant is, you might think that it's obligatory or it's desirable for you to be making nedarim all the time. Kamash milan, if you don't make nedarim, you're a good guy too. You're a firm person. What? Yeah, exactly. So that's part of the discussion. Why do we need the additional support of the pasuk in Koheles? So, but your point is still well taken, and I think in general it's an important question. In this little sugya that we're now discussing, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about an Eitz HaTova? And if so, how strongly do we feel this Eitz HaTova? Or are we really talking about a not a lav, not something which you're loka for, but not a mitzvah avera, but an improper behavior? Or are we really talking about something which isn't just a good piece of advice, but something which is really defining for us lechatchila and b'diavad, how one is supposed to operate? So we'll get back to that in just a second. So far we have this Gemara. What we have so far then is Eliot. That what? So there's machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. It seems like Rabbi Meir is very much, very negative about Nedarim, and it seems like Rabbi Yehuda is a little bit more open. According to our Gemara, he is a little more open, but even Rabbi Yehuda is only open as far as Nedava is concerned, right? Hare Zu, which is Nedava, but when it comes to Hare Alai, which is Nedarim, lo. Even he agrees that this is improper behavior. So what we want to do, and again, it's directly connected to what the question Dovi just asked. We want to figure out how much of a... is it an Eitz HaTova or is it more? And what really is it connected to and based on? What's the idea here? So we really have to think of three or four scenarios. One is, again, the language of the pasuk itself. Tova shelo tidor mishat tidor velo teshalem. So almost all the Mepharshim said, don't take that literally. Because, as we just said before, if you take it literally, it's, you know, it's obvious. It doesn't need to be stated. If you're not going to honor your pledge, then obviously you shouldn't be pledging, one would think. So they interpret in one way or another that the pshat is, better not risk lo tidar, even if that means not pledge, lo tishalem, even if that means lo tidar, better not go that route. That's already a different shot. The exception in this is Michael?
I don't know, it's more stresses the idea of don't think that the machshava itself of being over there is going to help you out. So the Torah needed to the Havavin is just the machshava in itself is a good thing. So the Torah had to stress.
Exactly. Maybe having a good, this is a very interesting idea, Rabbanu LaTorah. And who else says it? The Ran and the Darim, exactly. Anybody have the language of the Ran and the Darim? Or the Rabbanu LaTorah? This is a very important idea already, because it already gets us into a whole different perspective, in a way. The attitudinal issue. I think I really two approaches to the whole sugya. Michael, you have it? The run of the darim? Just look a little louder so people can hear. So the Tzuran ends up going in the other extreme in the Maskana. But this is a very, very important, both the Ramban and Latori, both correct, and the Ran, are basically telling us that one could have thought that, you know, pledging, you know, maybe is inherently a good thing. Right? Because it's it reflects, number one, a certain spirit of generosity, Machshava Tova. The truth is that the emphasis of the Ramban on the Torah is more Machshava Tova. And the Ran it's not much different. I think the Ran is certainly working off the Ramban. The Ran is saying that one could have thought that the focus in Neder is always Bishas Hahafla. And it's up as a, in addition to the Hashkafa issue here, in Hilchos Nedarim, this is an important issue generally. What is the relationship in Nedarim between the Hafla'a and the actual implementation? Right, the Iser that you violate when you don't fulfill your neder is lo yachel devaro. So the idea is that it's chilul diburo. The oser, the mechayev, is the fact that your words turned out to be false. And maybe the benefit when you go through with the neder is the commitment itself, the admirable commitment that you made, which you end up implementing. There's another perspective, and that is that a neder, of course, we'll soon talk about the different types of nedarim, but the neder is a setup, essentially. In other words, you use your dibur and your commitment to create your own kind of halachic reality. You create your own ma'isa aveira, right? I make this into a prohibited substance, so then if I go ahead and I eat it or I use it, so the ma'isa aveira isn't the chilul diburo, it's the act which triggers the chilul dibur. But basically, one could argue then that the dibur, the hafla, to begin with, is a setup. We spoke a little bit about Nazir when we talked about the Drosh Kabel Schar issue and the Noda Bihuda. Right, to what extent do you really look at Nedarim in these different ways? Focusing on the Hafla'a or on the setting up Maisa Averas or Maisa Mitzvos for yourself that are then defined in your own little, you know, Dalet Amos world as Maisa Averas and Maisa Mitzvos. So the Ran, again, the Ramban is emphasizing, I think, the Machshava Tova. You know, he meant well. He wasn't able to implement, but that doesn't mean the machshava, the generosity of spirit that drove him to begin with, isn't a valuable sentiment. And the Ran, I think, is saying even more than that, but building off of it and saying, again, one more time, Michael, you have it there, just one more time.
Okay.
Just that those three lines. So basically, in the end, he kept, as one could have said, that the makshav is a makshava tova, and that the Hafla is the real koveya in the darim. The only thing is that if you end up not implementing, So then, going also lamafreya, that it's chil diburo liachal devaro, namely that machshava becomes a machshava which is not implemented, is a meaningless machshava lamafreya, right? Or the chil dibur, which is the dibur, which is niskal basov, is obviously worse than if you began to begin with. The interesting thing is that the Ran doesn't say it that way. I'm not sure how much significance to attach to it. What he really says is, the whole idea is wrong. In the Darim, what's important is not what you said, but in the end, the Maisa that you do. So whether, even if it's Anas V'Shachach, again, I would have said, good, Anas V'Shachach, but it's still Igloi L'Mathreya, that the V'Chil Diburo is a meaningless or a negative. What he seems to be saying is more than that, and that is the chil dibur was never anything. Even when you implement, it's not the chil dibur, it's you set up through your dibur, through your hafla, you set up a certain practice or a certain commitment, and it's the commitment itself which becomes the davar chashuv in the darim. But one doesn't have to go so far as the Ran in order to backtrack from this havamina. According to the other Rishonim, there never even was such a havamina. No one would ever think that pledging, which never gets paid, is of significance. So I think that's important. I think what this, the Ran and the Ramban show, or reflect, is the possibility of taking a whole approach to the topic here. I think there are really basically two, generally speaking, two ways to learn this whole sugya. We're talking about, you know, is it better to be noder and to be mishalem? Okay, we all agree now that it's certainly not good to be noder veino mishalem, although there could be various reasons for that. Right. But in terms of whether it's better to be eino noder klal or to be noder or mishalem, so how really do we understand the issue? So the general approach of the Rishonim al Atar here in Chulin, and most of the Rishonim in the Darim, I think, as well, is to zero in on what we would call, well, you tell me, well, what's the basic issue? Would you say? Jason? Yeah. The chashash of Avera, which basically makes it into what? Basically a cost-benefit analysis. In other words, what are you gaining? What's the spiritual benefit of making a neder? Right? And what is the risk, you know, of making a neder? And is it worthwhile given the risk? Right? If that's the case, so basically we have to figure out what the risks are, number one, and what the percentages of that risk are. In other words, what issues are at stake here, and what is the likelihood that you're going to violate them? So what would you put on the table? Elliot, go ahead.
I think maybe according to at least Tosfos, Meir seems to be saying that any sort of risk at all is not, like, sort of invalidates the possible benefit. Because Tosfos says that, Tosfos asks, why is it by Nedava, that even though the puzzle is talking about Nedarim, why is it even by Nedava that Meir disqualifies Nedava? And he says that even then you could come to Me'ilah and stuff like that. The
very
question
good.
Is, if it's just a chash, if it's just a chash, maybe there's a certain level that we're worried about, and Nedava is less of a chance of doing that. So why is Tosfos worried about it? And why would we?
Well, he's still worried. So, but how does it prove that?
It sounds like any amount of chash. I mean, the fact
we're going pretty far with that. You're saying okay. So there are some Me'ila. Tosfos introduces Me'ila. Actually, the Gemara in Nedarim, I may have, depends how you read that line in the Gemara in Nedarim. This idea of risk, being the risk versus benefit, being the is the issue in the sugya, really flows from the language of the Gemara Nedarim. Okay. Which line? Did you see the Gemara? Who has the Gemara Nedarim? Eitan, go ahead.
I don't have
it. Which line?
Shema, when the Gemara asks what's the difference between Neder and Dava, and he says, Shema Yikalkel.
Shema
Yavoli Deitakala.
Deitakala, exactly. So that Gemara, anybody have the exact... What? Yeah, go ahead. Why?
Why?
No, it's okay. So basically, the Gemara, now the Gemara until that point was speaking about what's the context of the mission of the Sugya Nedarim, the Mishnah there. Read it to you, Donnie, you have it there? Yeah, this on Tesamid Aleph. Yeah. So basically, this is a very fascinating Mishnah, and the Gemara zeroes in on it. Namely, we're talking about what Rishayim and Sheirim. So it sounds like, and so Rishayim signifies people who make Nadarim, right? And Sheirim are people who are only Nodav, or maybe not even Nodav. Right? That's very fascinating. So that's how the Gemara introduces this whole idea, this machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, right? Whether it's better not to do Nadarim at all. And then the Gemara introduces the distinction between Neder and Adava, right? 2 days in the Gemara, are Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda arguing about Neder, or are they arguing about Nadava? Our Gemara here in Chulin assumes that what? That the machlokes is in the context of Nadava. Even Rabbi Yehuda only says that it's better to make Nadarim in the context of Nadava, but not of Neder. And the Gemara there in Nadarim are 2 days. And then Tosas points that out as well. So if you look at that whole sugya and you just read that line about Takala, the Gemara says, well, Maish, before the Gemara introduces the line of Takala, you don't know what the topic is about at all. Like, what's the issue here? Well, what's the problem? Right. Tosas says, I mean, the Gemara says, what about Chashash Takala? And what about the Takala of Neder, the relative Takalas of Neder and Nadava? But before that line is introduced in the Gemara, we don't know for sure that that's what the topic is. There's another Gemara in several other Gemaras. There's a Gemara Nadarim on Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph, right, where the Gemara says that Kola Noder Ki'ilu Banabama, right? And Kola Makayim is Ki'ilu Hikri Banabama, right? That's the Gemara Chav Beis Amud Aleph in Nadarim. The Gemara says as follows. It's a very famous line. What does it mean? Hamakaimo kilu makriv alav karban. Wow. So does that sound like it's a problem of takala? I mean, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, the problem of building a bama, and the Ran here says, I mean, also Sharm interpreted it, hanodar kilu bana bama bishas isra abamos. Right? Now the truth is, you don't have to read the Gemara that way. It might even be more fascinating if it was Shalomishmas Shas Binyan Abamas, as I'll explain. But this Gemara doesn't sound like the issue is one of Takala. Our Gemara says nothing about Takala. The Gemara Nadarim does say something about Takala. So let's focus on, I think, what are two basic approaches in the Sugya. One is what we just said, what Jason said, what we're pursuing, which is that this is about Takala. And I say, if that's the case, it's a cost, risk, benefit analysis. Meaning, you have to ask yourself several questions. You know, how much, what is at risk? How much of a risk is there? And weigh it against, is there any benefit? Or is it neutral? Obviously, if something is neutral, then even a little bit of risk is enough to weigh. If something has significant benefits, then you need a lot of risk to outweigh. Is the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir about how much risk or how much benefit or both? What exactly is the issue? So what's on the table? What are the problems? What are the risks? I would say the risks are, well, Elliot mentioned Tosas about Me'ila. Where did Tosas get that from? From that Gemara in Nadarim. Right, the Gemara in Nadarim itself says, well, what's with Nadava? What's the risk? You say Harezu, and you're not even Chai Bachar Yusuf. So once you say Harezu and you're Makdish the animal, right, you're off the hook. You've done your part, or so it would seem. Right, and if so, what's the problem? So the answer is, well, it could be Bali Deinavela. That's what Tosa says here as well on the top. Elliot, go ahead. You're absolutely right. Base on base, Tosa says.
From the beginning.
Vieshlomar de Kasavar. Takala become inyan. The kulo lo below b'ki ki hillel. Yeah.
So not everyone was a careful solo that they would be sure that they would never be over on Megillah.
Yeah. So but what if you did Hillel's trick? Would that be okay even according to Rabbi Meir?
Yeah.
What?
Ramban says sure.
Ramban says sure, and some of the others
sure.
What?
Sure
right. Ramban, exactly. Which seems to be Tosis, and so this is the question. So number one, this is the most distant one, and I think Eliot's point before was, but this is pretty rachok, right? Me'ila, and it's rachok in two ways. I'll explain in a second. Before you get to Me'ila, there are more obvious candidates. If you're not talking about Nadava, let's say we're talking about Neder. So what's at stake there, Avi? If we're talking about neder, so what would be the risks? Layachol dvaro, and bal ta'acher. You say bal ta'acher, you know. So is it so obvious the bal ta'acher or not?
Well, it's, I mean, it's brought up on our daf, isn't it?
For ah, okay. That's different than saying it's brought up on our daf. Not in the Gemara. What? No, we're Ben Yaakov. He thinks it's Rabbeinu Eliakim in Tmura. I don't know what it is here. He, the Shidduch Betzos quotes as the explanation of Andaf Tesem and Aleph as Rabbeinu Eliakim. So the guy in the bottom, the David Shoshan, put out these. He says, "Oh, that's Rabbeinu Gershom in Tmura. It must be Rabbeinu Gershom in Tmura. It's everybody knows it's not Rabbeinu Gershom. It's an early Ashkenaz parish." He says, "Oh, it must be that's Rabbeinu Eliakim." That doesn't mean that it's the same person at all. I'll play, but maybe it is. Who knows? You might be onto something. Anyways, okay. Rabbeinu Gershom here says Baal Ta'acher, and so do some other Rishonim, and a bunch of Rishonim say that in the Darin, including the Ran. Right. A bunch of Rishonim in the Darin on Daf Tes and Aleph speak about Baal Ta'acher in addition to Baal Yachel. So you have Baal Yachel possibly La Yachel Devar. I'm sorry, Baal Ta'acher. And Me'ila. These are all three candidates. The relationship between Baal Ta'acher and Layachel is a bit complicated. We'll get to that in just a second. But anybody who's worried about violations of Layachel, Baal Ta'acher, and even Me'ila in that order is basically worried about risk. As for benefit, maybe they hold that there's no benefit. Or maybe they hold there is some benefit, but either way, it's outweighed, it's outridden. Okay? Now, how far do you go with this? So let's take Hillel and the Machlokas from Ramban and Baal Tosfos for a second. Yeah?
But then they haven't shown that there'll be so much on your Korbano. In fact, they bring you down, so you won't make Hillel and that in your Shmias and Mitzvot.
Say that one more time? Oh, yeah, exactly. So that already, and would you put that in the same categories or not?
It could be that it goes in the first group.
It's hard to know, right? Exactly. So let's get to that. So let's elaborate on that for a moment, since you brought it up. So the issue revolves around how far are we going to be mechalik between the darim and the davos? Let me put it this way: if the part of the risk or the ikar part of the risk is la yachol devaro, right? So that would seem not to be a problem in the davos, correct?
Yep.
And we know it's 2 days in the Gemara whether or not Rabbi Meir to argue about the davos or not. But there still is Baal Ta'acher in theory for Nadava, right? And there's certainly Me'ila. Again, the Me'ila is brought up by Tosas. The Baal Ta'acher is brought up by Rabbeinu Gershom, absolutely correct. The again, if you look just at the Rishonim, Alatar, the Rajba, the Ritva, they have different formulation, here in Chulin even. They have, I think the Rajba says, we're worried about Lo Yachel, and we're worried about Baal Ta'acher. And the Ritva says, we're worried about Layachel, and we're worried about Me'ila. Okay. So, what exactly is going on here? But how far do we go with this? So the distinction between Neder and Adava we understand, in terms of how much risk, how many things are at risk, and how much risk there is. That's one place to draw the line. As we understand, if you take this cost-benefit-risk analysis approach, why, one day in the Gemara is, that even Rav Meir will agree, when it comes to Adava, there's less of a risk. Clearly. Another place to draw the line, if you're looking at it from this point of view, is Hillel. Correct? Yes, that's what I think you're getting to, right? So that is a machlokas arishonim. Again, the Ramban's view, Ramban is very emphatic about this. If you were to bring, according to Hillel's suggestion, even Rabbi Meir would embrace that kind of nadava. That's what the Ramban says. That's how the Ramban answers some of the questions of Tosas. Like, one of the questions Tosas asks, Elliot, is not the one you mentioned before, but another one here. Keep going. He asks about Basa Taiva, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Tomar.
I feel maybe Kvasazar Lazara, Lahain Lishna Basra, then the Durham, Hey, Ochu Israel, Shalom the Midbar. How did they eat Shalom in the Midbar, according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Basra Taib was Asr, and they could only bring a Shalomim? How were they able to eat Basra Taib? How did they eat Shalom in the Midbar if it's really only Bidiyabit?
Oh, Vishlomar.
Vishlomar came to the Nesu, Binin Acher, Vibasar, Havi, Kiilu, Tivalam, Makam.
Wow, that's an interesting formulation. We find different formulations of this answer of Tosas, or Kain, this answer of Tosas. Tosas says that it's Ke'ilu, there was a Tzivui to be Matir, so it's no longer in the category of Nedarim, Nedarim or Nedavos. Some of the other Rishonim give the answer a little bit differently. Like the Ritva, I think, says that, you know, B'delez Breira, what can you do? Right? If you have no other choice, then you got to do it. B'mokom di'efshar matirin. The footnote on the bottom of the Ritva, I was looking at it again last night, that's on the footnotes, and he says, yeah, kemosha matzinu, and he quotes like a little string of Mar Makomo, some other places where we say, you know, heichad efshar, efshar, heichad lo efshar, lo efshar. I don't think that's what the Ritva meant. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Like, davashi efshar t'pas yutayva?
I'm sorry?
Why is it davashi efshar t'pas yutayva? Why can't you just not t'pas yutayva?
It's, you know, you're a very spiritual person. Like, you just you ask that. The tzmimus, you know, libcha. I like that. And I wouldn't have expected. I wouldn't have expected anything less from you. But you're right, and I hear you. But I guess for klal yisrael, I think for individual, you could say that. And you know, for klal yisrael, not to have any outlet, you know, to achilas basar. Again, I think I mentioned. The Radak says on Vayhi Chein, in Parshas Bereishis, he says that you weren't allowed to eat meat, right? You weren't here for that, but that was our Hakdama. So, of course, with the exception of Bali Tosas, say you could eat meat, you just can't kill an animal to eat meat, but that's the minority view. Most Rishonim say you're not allowed, at the time of Adam, you're not allowed to eat meat. So the Radak says, Radak's view is different than the Ramban, that we pretty much went in the Mahalach of the Ramban. But the Radak's view is that meat was always destined to be on man's diet. Okay, but the Torah wanted to wait, you know, to let Noach take the credit. Okay, but even at the beginning, it was supposed to be on the diet. Okay, so why am I telling you this? So the Radak says that's the pshat where the Torah says vayhi chein. The Torah spells out the diet. You can only eat, esev. And Esav Zorea Zera, and Eitz Pri, Osa Pri Lemineu, and then it says Vayhi Chein. So the Radak says, what's the Vayhi Chein? So he says, man's nature was adjusted at the time of Bereishis, even though he's destined to eat meat. See, the Ramban doesn't have this problem, because according to the Ramban, he wasn't destined to eat meat. That only came about, you know, after the Mabul or whatever. But the Radak says, he was destined to eat meat, but we're delaying it until after Noah. So by Hichein, how's he going to manage? Like, how if it's destined to be on his menu, right? How is he going to, you know, to hold back? How can you expect him to hold back? By Hichein, says the Radak, man's nature was adjusted at that point. So I like the question. I like the Yikov Adin Sahar mentality that underlies it. I like it very much. I wouldn't have expected anything less. But Afal Bichein, the Rishonim here, you know, think it's a problem. They think it's a problem. But I do agree with you in another way, and that is, I don't like the explanation of the Ritva that Hechad Afshar, Afshar, Hechad Lo Afshar, what are you going to do? Because why? I mean, to tell them to observe the Shulchan Aruch, even the Lechatchilas of the Shulchan Aruch. So I don't think that that's what the Ritva has in mind. It's certainly not what Tosa says. Right? Tosa says it's an implicit tzivui that you can do. It's mitzvah. The Rajba is something in between those two formulations. But I'll get back to them in a second, just to hold up one more second. But the Ramban's answer to the question is Hillel. They all did Hillel. Hillel's procedure was very popular. That's what they used. It's a good answer. The Ritva, and the name of the Ramban, goes further and gives a different answer, which I'll get to in just a second. So according to the point is as follows. According to the Ramban, Hillel's procedure, which has no risk, basically, it's almost no risk, is acceptable even according to Rabbi Meir. However, as Ramban himself says, the Balei Tosfos don't seem to agree with me. They seem to think that even Hillel is a problem according to Rabbi Meir. So what is the problem? So here the Ramban, go ahead, has two, you were saying before, has two formulations. One is... That's the second one. That's the more interesting one, the one more ambitious one that you're talking about. Before we get to just the lesser, one is we're still dealing with risk benefit in an obvious way. It's just that it's removed one. It's not so obvious in the calculation though. Shelo yargil, if we allow you to do Hillel, we're worried that you'll be margil. You'll be ragil be nedarim unedavos, and in the end you'll violate some balyachels down the road. I mean, we're so cautious about Bayachel Devaro that even something where there's no risk of anything at all, because it could be maybe, it's like one step, it's like a Xero practically. Amazing, right? But we're so worried about Loyachel Devaro or these other factors that we're going to push it off even one more. That's one view of the Ramban. The second view, go ahead, that's the really interesting one, is what are we worried about here? The Yesh Omer Mishum Sharagil Bekam. Again, the first answer is Rabbeinu Yishech Kasa Sharagil Benedarim Bali De Layachel. Klamar Fila Belo Nader Klal Asa Shalei Ragil Benedarim. Yesh Omer Mishum Sharagil Bekarbanos Eni Yarei Min Ashgagos. Shu Somech Al Karbanosav. What's so important about that? So you're suggesting that too is part of the cost to benefit analysis. And you may very well be right in the context in which it's written. And certainly if you read the Gemara Nedarim that way, and you think that you have to read it that way, you might very well be right. You might be right. The Ramban himself doesn't like it. Ramban says that Hillel is fine. Right. But there is another way to look at the Ramban's second answer. And that is, if you believe that, even in the Dava, even according to the Hillel method, where there's no Takala, even then, Rab Meir argues, in which case you might have to say that the Gemara Chulin, if it's operating with that, is different than the Gemara Nedarim, because the Gemara Nedarim said, yeah, I mean, if you don't do what Hillel did, you're going to end up with Mila. Right? In this case, there is no Takala. So again, one more time. According to the first view of the Ramban, you're still going to be Ragel ben Nedarim, so it's a different Takala. But the Takala here, so again, this could still be a Takala, but maybe there's another way to look at it. Maybe the Gemara Nedarim is a particular line in Nedarim, but that's not necessarily true for the Sugya and Chulin. Let's get back to the Gemara in the Darim Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Right, Kalanoder Ki'ilu Bana Bama. So does that sound like it's based on Takalos? Is the problem of a Bama Shelo Bizman Heter Bamos a problem of Takala? What is the problem?
That's why Nidru Yisra or Nidru Hektish.
What?
Exactly.
Good. Okay. I mean, the Ramban himself will soon see. The Ramban is b'chalik between Nidre Hektish and Nidre Mitzvah and Nidre Yisur. But there is definitely talking about Nidre Yisur. That's where I impose Yisurim upon myself. Now, what one of the issues that we're going to have to, some we're going to finish this in a couple minutes, but we'll finish it up in just a couple more minutes on Sunday, is to discuss that question. I mean, should we be b'chalik, just as there's a question, should you be b'chalik between Nedarim and Nedavos? Should you be b'chalik between the Nedava of Hillel and a regular Nedava? Should you be mechalek between Nidre Mitzvah, Nidre Gavoa, Shas, Eis Tzara? What other chilukim should we make? So we'll get back to that. What is the idea of kilu noder, noder kilu banabama?
To me, it's like something much more fundamental. And this is why, you know, if you read the second day in the Ramban differently, you could say that it's sort of an inversion of, you know, lahakshiv mechalev ilim, shemol mizabach tov kind of idea that.
The what?
That with the Ramban's pshat, that the whole idea, your whole drive to bring a korban, has sort of superseded your basic shmiras hamitzvos, bishas iser bamos, and that inversion is exactly the problem of, you know, of shogeg. You know, you become regular in shkagos, and you'll think korbanos make up for it. But it's not just, you know, cost benefit, but it reflects an entire inversion of what.
Yeah,
what
I mean, somehow this is not a proper. Now, what exactly it is? That's not so clear. So if you look, for example, at the Ran in the Darim, but you're right, I mean, the Derech of if it is relevant to this sugya, Eliot's point is also well taken. Maybe that Gemara is specifically about Nidre Yisur, and here we're talking about Nidre, possibly about Nidre Gavoa. We'll get back to that. But let's use the idea for the moment. So,
can you bring a riot quickly for that?
Yeah.
Just the Rambam says that, he says by that thing, it says, right? So that right. Means that you should have Hashalah for it if you can. The Rambam says that's only for Nidre Yisur, that's not for Nidre Hekdesh, because right. Nidre Hekdesh, there's a Nidre Lashem HaShalem, is like an Indian of bringing the.
Right. The Rambam's Mechalik in one direction, the Ramban is actually Mechalik in the opposite direction. Right? I mean, the Rambam seems to be more open to Nidre Gavoa, and the Ramban thinks that Nidre Gavoa are the least pressing, and he starts quoting the Pesukim in Yeshayahu and so on. You know, Lamali Rav Zivchechem and all of that.
Anyway,
so we'll get to it.
That's where you quote.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. But let's before we get to the Chilukim, which I think we'll be able to explain, or when we finish up on Sunday. Remember, Sunday we said was at 10 o'clock. So let me just build it a little bit. So the Ran of the Darim on Chavei Simon Aleph says, he quotes the Rishalmi, in the Darim, Parakes, which actually we quoted already once this year. Namely, Jakey? Right, it's not. Do you have language there?
Yeah.
He says, why is it Kilo Ban Obama? Meaning, now what exactly is that? So we actually encountered it once this year before when I was talking about Rabbi Rucham Fishel Perlo's reading of Rav Sajagon. Yeah.
Is it possible to say that maybe there was between the content and the methodology, that the idea of taking upon yourself from where it isn't necessarily bad, it's just the methodology of the
using
Dharam
the Dharam to do it? Possibly. I'm saying that we have to identify what this is. It's important. It could be. So basically, number one, if you just take the Yerushalmi Kipshuto, you might see it as a pleasure issue. That's how Rabbi Rucham Fishel, partially how Rabbi Rucham Fishel Perlo, or Rabbi Rucham Fishel Perlo, trying to explain why Rabbi Sajagon has a mitzvah, right, to eat basar shachot. So he says, well, what is that? It can't be that he holds that there's a mitzvah of shchita lekachim and a separate mitzvah of shchita lechulin, which I thought was actually a very good idea. But he said, it can't be that. So what is it? So in the end, he bases it on this Yerushalmi. What the Sajagon wants to say is, you know, if this is something that is permitted and you can do it properly, it's a kiyum too. Based on the Yerushalmi. I mean, like an invert, like an issue, like a nazir issue. Like, you know, al shetzir es atzmo minayayin kind of halacha. Maybe. That's one possibility. But I agree, I think what Joe is saying, is a more fruitful approach, and certainly the connection to being bona abama, I think, implies this. And I think it's what Daniel was referring to as well. That the issue here isn't about specifically about being nanam and olam hazeh, you know, properly as opposed to being more ascetic. The real issue is how one expresses one's religiosity. You know, Torah gave us rules and regulations, so being machmir, you know, according to the spirit of the law, is a very good idea sometimes. And other times, being machmir is a problem. And it can be a problem for several reasons. Number one, there's a yara type of issue. Right? Sometimes when you are machmir in a certain area, but it's inconsistent with your broader approach to things, that can either cover up serious flaws in your religious character, or it can create significant tensions and problems in your avodas Hashem. I mean, the Torah is a very balanced kind of a system, and before one seeks to intensify a particular area, you have to be very careful that you're not throwing everything else off balance, and you're not going to somehow hide behind, you know, the chumras that you adopt to kind of compensate for other kulas that you're going to end up adopting, or that you have already taken upon yourself. That's one of the explanations of mechzi kiyara, meaning your behavior is out of line. You know, this particular conduct is out of line with your total religious personality. And we're concerned that the mechanism of nadarim, of being mosif isurim, is going to affect that balance. Are you questioning the Torah's perfect balance when you are marbe benadarim? Are you hiding behind these additional isurim, etc.? In some cases, the heterim are just heterim. They also may be kiyumim, especially in context of other things. So you're fiddling around with a delicate balance. It's wonderful to bring karbanos. The point is, so you might say, well, what's wrong with being bona abama? Right? Why should there be a zman of isur bamos? I want to express myself in the bringing of bamos. The answer is, bringing a korban in the context of the mikdash, with everything surrounding it, and with all the rules and regulations, and as a chiyuv, is quite different than your personal subjective korban. Again, lamali rov zivchechem, and all of those psukim, that, you know, all those complaints of the Nevi'im, are basically the argument that Klal Yisrael is hiding behind. Klal Yisrael can hide behind behavior which intrinsically seems very, very admirable, but again, it clouds and ends up being cover for other abuses. So we say Klal Noder Kilaban Obama. That seems to be what we're, and that possibly is what the Yerushalmi means. It's not about Hana. Yerushalmi is saying, you know, first, master the perfect balance of the Torah. Until you've done that, you know, is it really wise for you to be bona bama? Oh. So if that's the case, in a way, that works in nicely with the second approach of the Ramban. Again, you could be right. It could be that it's just part of the earlier, the additional risk. But at least it opens a Pesach. Basically what we're saying is, we're worried that you're bringing karbonos every day, so you'll think, you know, I'm really covered. And maybe that's a more pragmatic expression of it, but it's in that direction. Maybe it isn't about the greater likelihood of violating Layachel, or even the greater likelihood that you're going to be violating Shkagos. It sounds good on paper, but you have to be very careful when you throw things out of balance. You don't never know what's going to happen. You might be in bona bama. So, if that's the case, then we need to understand some of the chilukim. In other words, we have several chilukim to contend with anyway. There's nedarim and nedavos, right? There is Hillel's nedava and regular nedava. Chiluk between Hillel's Nedava and other Nedavos mostly makes sense from a risk-benefit, emphasizing the risk part point of view. Otherwise, a Nedava is probably a Nedava. But why is a Nedava better than a Neder? So again, from a risk point of view, we understand it very well. What about from the perspective of what we're talking about now, which is inherently being, you know, Osar Atzmacha, Al Atzmacha, through the medium of Nedarim isn't a wise thing. So here, we invoke the other Ramban al HaTorah. Okay, what is the Ramban al HaTorah? And again, the Ran in the Darim, as it happens, but a different. The Ran in the Darim on Tesamid Aleph, another line in the Ran, and the Ramban al HaTorah. What's the difference between the Darim and the Davos? Again, if you take the more obvious reading of the Sugya, based on the Gemara and the Darim, Tesamid base, it's about Takala. So we understand the difference. There's nothing more to talk about. Right? But if we're talking about, you know, intrinsically as an approach to Avodas Hashem, so are Nedavos any better than Nedarim?
So the Ran and the Ramban explain that the Nedava is done full-fledged commitment, whereas the Neder is done sort of hesitatingly or half-heartedly.
Right. There is this idea that Nedava, and the, you know, Kishmo Kainhu, the sense of Ritzui and the Diva slave is greater, and that it flows from a slightly different motivation. The Darim are, you know, I want to force myself to make sure that I live up to my commitments, so I make a Neder. and it's a lie, and there's a achrayas. It's also delayed, right? So in addition to being, of course, the delay from the risk-benefit point of view is obviously an issue, but even from the Avodas Hashem point of view, I have to force myself to do this. I'm not doing it right away either, right? And it's only because of the threat of the Chiyuv Achrayus almost that I have to implement it. As opposed to, this is just flowing, you know, practically spontaneously from my, you know, overflowing, you know, Avas Hashem, desire to bring a karban, desire, you know, to be Osar Atzmi Afilu Bemutar Li as an expression of Kedoshim Tiyu. Point is, where the Ramban speaks in this Perish Al HaTorah, and that the Ran speaks in the Darim Dav Tes. Anybody have that line in the Ran also? Whoever had the Ran before? Michael? On Tesamid Aleph. We talk about what's the difference between the Darim and the Davos at that point. Yeah, this comment in the Mishnah, I think it's in the Mishnah, right?
It's in the Mishnah, it's
in the Mishnah. Yeah. On Tesla
Medavah?
Yeah. Okay. And he says, what's the difference between Neder and Nadava, really? Why should it be a difference? Why Ksherim associated with Nadavos and not Nadarim? You reading through Maso Kinnid Vosam?
A little bit further.
Keep going. Keep going.
The neder pirusha davar sheino ba legame benitva salev benedava pirusha masha adam no der yosem mitzvah snapsha shemasa yoser
ritzuyim
shimhaki amina the neder who hurry alive pirusha ino misade legame kevan shelo pirusha lasha benedava who ba omer haruzu pirusha misade nidro yoser ratzoy the kimshes who pirusham shall neder dada after neder after pirusha ain a neder shall zeros.
He's trying to explain how can you have a language of nedava and the zeros when there's no such thing.
Right.
So he's trying to say it's attitudinal, right? Misha kavana shelo ritzuya yoser karin zerusa nedava mishena ritzuya kolkach karin neder barishoyim kishenodrim benazir ain kavanasam ritzuya legamri have like share mitosha kavanasam shlema ritzuya they ben zerusam shum nindud aveira karin zerusam nedava behind the ring of gabin nedava the zerus mishkachas akashim natzade. So basically, he also earlier quotes the Gemara in the Dharma, which is also very important, I think, for this. That's the Gemara in the Dharma, Chesamid Aleph. The Gemara there says, if a guy says, I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to learn every morning, right? Neder Gadol Nadar, that's the Gemara of Ches. Neder Gadol Nadar Lalakei Yisrael. So, Ahi Shvua Lo Mikri Nedava, Shoi Kvari Mechiyav Lekayim Samitzvah. But, so basically, anybody have the Lashon of the Ramban also? Well, I guess we'll have to stop in a minute. But if you look at Ramban al-Torah, also he has this idea. So the point is as follows. If we're talking about the risk-benefit approach, so we know the difference between Hillel and other Nedavos. We know the difference between Nedavos and Nedarim. The difference within Nedarim themselves between, let's say, Eis Tzara or Bizman Hamidbar, all these things are going to have to be calculated in cost benefit. If you have no other choice, you have no other meat, you know, what can you do? If it's Eis Tzara, so maybe the benefit of Neder or the need for Neder is greater, so you're going to be able to do it. Basically, all the chilukim that we encounter, what about Nidre Mitzvah? The Gemara says it's a very good thing to take a neder to get up early in the morning to say, you know, I'm going to learn Masechta Zu and so on. And that's the Gemara. Where was that? Kesamanale. One of the famous Gemaras about Iboy Patanavshe, Kriyashma Shachris Viarvis. That's this Gemara. Gemara says, Minayin Shin Ishbay Lakaimis Amitzvah. Ishbati Vakaim Alishmar Mishbetet Zidkecha. Alamuja Bomer Mar Sinai. Kamashim the Sharlil Inish Lizruze Navshe. Alamar Ashkim Yeshna Paragzesh Nam Sech Nazu. Neder Godal Nadal Ke Yisrael. Right? So again, what are these exceptions? If you take the risk-benefit approach to them, it's right, you have to weigh, you have to make sure that you're going to be Nakayim, but basically, in those cases, the other side of the ledger is more compelling. Maybe it's an Ace Tzara, you need some extra Zchuyos, or you need some extra, you want to make sure that you bring the Tzedakah, and so on. Or it's L'shem Mitzvah, L'zruzei Nafshe, you're not going to do it otherwise, or you might not do it otherwise. So you have to add that into the cost and the benefit. But according to this approach, we're suggesting, which is it's not based on takala per se. It's really halakha, kilu, bone, bama. It's that type of approach. It's based on the Yerushalmi in the ninth parak of Nedarim. It's based, then basically all the chilukim are going to be as follows. Is this neder kibona bama, umakrivola? Or is it a kiyum in, you know, in real karbanos? In other words, is this overcompensation or an imbalance which creates some sort of problem or which reflects a problem? Or is it really an exuberance, you know, an overflow of sincerity, either brought about by, you know, a particular circumstance, or whatever the case may be, right? So if that's the case, so then the chilukim, the difference between neder and nedava isn't so much the risk; it's what the Ramban and the Ran were talking about, namely the sense of nedivus slave. It's almost like a spontaneous, not forcing yourself. Oh my, you need a neder to force yourself to do the mitzvah to say a rei alai. You know, maybe that's a problem. Maybe you shouldn't use the darim as a crutch for you to fulfill your basic obligations. That's one way to look at it, right? But let's say it's not that at all. You're just so, you know, overawed and inspired that, you know, that you want to do more. And this is a function of your ritsui and your nidiva slave. So what's wrong with that? There might even be nadarim that are nadavos. There might be nadavos that are nadarim. That's essentially what the Ran is saying. Although the Ran isn't necessarily taking that approach to the sugya. The Ran was asking a very specific question. How come, or in what sense, can we speak about a nadava and a zeros? I'm just saying, once you take that approach, you might say that nadava and neder are attitudinal. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a low plug. There might be a low plug, too. And maybe all nadavas are okay, according to the view that's mechalik between nadarim and nadavos. We might be saying it across the board. But for reasons that, in the aggregate, the dava comes from a different place than neder, and it's not subject to the same kind of flaws. So that's a distinction between nedarim and... There's no distinction between Hillel and other nedavos, probably. Unless you say, even then, doing it right away, doing it with even greater enthusiasm and alacrity, but certainly not the chashash me'ilah. Doesn't seem to be, unless you want to say, oh, doing it in a way that is no chash me'ila shows even greater avoda. Maybe. I just think it's impossible. I'm just saying that's more, it sounds like more of an actual risk issue. But the chilk in Dharma Davos now emerges in a certain light. Moreover, some other chiluk can become clear. The question of Eis Tzara and Neder. No one's going to say that's a Yara or that's part. Of course, an Eis Tzara requires. You know, Tefillah, Tshuva, Tzedakah, Mavira, and Isra'ah. The Ritva says, the Neder and the Eis Tzara, he says, that's why you can have an appeal in Yom Kippur. And then the Ritva here, in Kula, says, because on, you know, what, the Aniyah really means your money, and Beknufya, and with the stakes of Yom Kippur hanging over your head, it's the best chance that they have to get it. That's Nidre Mitzvah, if you ever found one. And then in the Ran in the Ritva rather in the Darim says also Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay. So here he only says Yom Kippur. But The point is, that's because of the urgency. Another approach would be that Nidre Mitzvah or Nidre Shas Tzara just don't have the problem of Lamali Rov Zivchechem or Kilubona Bama. That's how you're supposed to respond in those. We're not worried there that you're covering up, overcompensating, and hiding behind, you know, Alti Tzadik Karbe, you know, that you're posturing here so that you can get away with something there. We're not worried about that. It's an Es Tzara. Similarly, in the Midbar, right, when they're in the Midbar and they had to eat Kadshim. So that's not a gratuitous, again, the answers of Tosus Ki'ilu Tziva. Even within Bali Tosus, it's interesting. Tosus Ki'ilu Tziva, and it's an implicit Tzivui. And the Ritva says, you know, what can you do? But lo afshar. So, as I said, the footnotes in the Ritva thought it was, like other Gemaras, what can you do? But lo afshar. I think it doesn't mean that exactly. I think what it means is that, number one, we no longer see this as a gratuitous neder. Right? Because there's a reason for it. Essentially, the Ramban says something like, the Ramban in general, as we know, is mechalek between Nidre Gavoa and Nidre Mitzvah. But in this direction, the point that Elliot made before with the Rambam is correct. We'll discuss the Rambam when we finish with this on Sunday. The Rambam may have made the opposite gil. For the Ramban says, in my opinion, this whole sugya is about Nidre Gavoa. Why? Because Nidre Gavoa are not necessary. By definition, right? But Nidre Tzedaka, anything like that, here. The man says, "Belinira shall also another bekachim is veya. Shami yavu the detakala. Even then, it's shami yavu the detakala. Vehim bekarbanos tzorach legavo. Dechsivin es shmo mizevachto. Avol tzedaka lahafrish isur laniim ma'isak safim. Ein tzorach loma lekayim mitzvos, referring to the Gemara Daf Ches, right? Lizruze mitzvah nedarim." Nishbaim the nodrim kinetan the darim siag laprishus. So again, the Ramban is still taking the cost benefit approach in the sugya. I'm not denying that, as are Rashi and Tosfos, etc. But what he is saying is that on the benefit, the Ramban is saying half of this idea, but on the benefit side, Ramban is saying, listen, the benefit of Nidre Gavoa is extremely limited, and therefore the risks are too much. But the benefits of Nidre Mitzvah, Nidre Tzedakah, are substantial. Siag L'Prishus. So if that's what it is, it's only Nidre Gavoa that are basically meaningless. Okay. So the Ritva, what do you do with the Midbar? The Ramban tells us what he does with the Midbar. Right? They practiced Hillel's strategy. But the Ritva, interestingly enough, when he quotes the Ramban, so he says, and based on the Ramban, you can answer the Midbar problem. Namely, it wasn't, according to the Ramban, it's bringing a korban which is essentially redundant, superfluous. Right? So then the risk-benefit is all in favor of the risk, not much benefit. Right. But Be'es Tzara, there's a benefit. And B'Midbar, there was a benefit, even if it was just Basar Taiba. Meaning it wasn't a gratuitous korban to the Rabbanu Shalom. Just, if you want to eat meat, this is what you have to do. So there's benefit to it. The Ritva says this in the name of the Ramban. The Ramban didn't give that answer. I find it just interesting. The Ramban's idea about Gavoa was expanded in his name by the Ritva. But basically, the Ramban is still taking the view that it's about cost and it's about benefit. But one could say, if you take the other approach, the bona bamos approach to the whole sugya, you could say the same idea, but just draw the line more sharply. And that is, when, and in some cases, which type of nadarim are yuhara, yushalmi type problems, and which ones are just an overflow of avodas Hashem. And things like es tzara, and things like midbar, and nidre zeruzin, all these are going to be distinctions. For the Rambam, the distinction is in the other direction. Karbanos, Gavoa, obviously that's an expression of Avodas Hashem. Nedarim, Isurim, Nedre Isur, that's more of a problem. Okay, we'll stop here. I just want to make a few more points about this. Next, I want to speak about Rambam and still some of the other Chilukim. In the Rishonim, I want to speak a little bit more about Me'ila and those things. And Bal Ta'ach and the Rambam, and Sefer Mitzvos. And then we'll move on to Chulin, Al Taras HaKodesh, and the other.